We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we're back. Marks and Reese on a Football Friday. Only got a couple of these left. One more next weekend or next week.
When's the USFL start?
That's right. We will have USFL games. All played in Birmingham, by the way. We won't be able to go see them, Mike. But as long as we're having Football Fridays, we're bringing this guy on at 4 o'clock. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk and PFT Live, NBC Football Night in America. What's up, Mike?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Mike?
Well, we're trying to figure out if we believe Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni when they tell us that Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. Now, I think it's most likely he's the quarterback next year, but that maybe could because of circumstance more than they believe that he's the guy. How do you see it?
Well, look, and this isn't a criticism of Sirianni, Roseman, the Eagles, or anything like that. There are certain situations where there are certain things that you just have to say. And even if you are committed to considering all of your options, whatever they may be, you're not going to show up at your press conference to end your season and say, hey, you know, we really like what Jalen did this year, but we are going to consider all of our options. And we are going to look very carefully at what else may be out there. I mean, I think back to last year, the end of season press conference from Howie Roseman, he said that, they want Carson Wentz, and trading him isn't something we're thinking about. So, you know, there's certain things you have to say to have leverage if there are any discussions, whether it's leverage in the discussions that result in your upgrade walking through the door or leverage in the discussions that result in your current quarterback becoming part of that trade package or some other trade package. And in the event that you don't find somebody better, why wouldn't you throw your arms around the guy you currently have? Because if that's the guy that ends up being your best case, you've never left him dangling, wondering,
right,
do they really like me? So I take all the things that are said at any press conference at any time regarding the status of a player with a grain of salt, unless it's one of the true shortlist franchise quarterbacks. Like, you know, when Tom Brady was in New England, if Bill Belichick had ever fielded a question like that, you know, he grunts and he rolls his eyes. Like, why would you even formulate that question? Of course he's the future. If the question even legitimately exists, then the team owes it to itself to explore all options whenever it can. If you're not doing that, you're not doing the job right.
You bring up a fascinating point when explaining that, and it's so right. It doesn't only pertain to the Eagles, but to other teams that may not have been happy with the way their quarterback played this year or the ending of their season. This seems like this is going to be an offseason of musical chairs for some of these teams trying to find a quarterback to upgrade over the guy that they have. How many teams realistically will be able to upgrade without using the draft, Mike, at their quarterback position?
That's an awesome point. And really, before Tom Brady became a free agent 2 years ago and went from New England to Tampa Bay, there wasn't much by way of veteran quarterback movement. But the combination of Brady making other quarterbacks more willing to voice discontent and rattle the cage a little bit, and that's what Carson Wentz did last year. You know, people say all the time, well, the Tom Brady attitude didn't work. Russell Wilson didn't get out of Seattle and Aaron Rodgers didn't get out of Green Bay. Yeah, but Carson Wentz got out of Philadelphia. He got what he wanted. Yep. So that's part of it. Young quarterbacks coming into the NFL and making an impact right away is part of it. It makes teams more willing to let go of the bird in the hand. And so we're seeing that quarterback carousel spin every year. The first thing, though, is the coaching carousel has to come to a rest. I think once we know who the coaches will be, who the coordinators will be, that's when you can start connecting dots and understanding who's going to try to land which quarterback. And even though the league year doesn't start until March 16, one thing we've learned in recent years, and we saw it most recently is last year when Matthew Stafford got traded to the Rams on January 30, even though it's not official until the start of the new league year, unofficial deals get done. That's why, you know, for a guy like Deshaun Watson, if there's going to be some market for him somewhere, they better get that thing moving. Because yeah. teams that he may want to play for may end up making other plans by the time his plans, you know, even begin to get rolling. So I think that is going to be part of it. And so, you know, anybody who doesn't have a quarterback that if you'd ask the question, is this definitely your guy for next year? And the team would scoff at the question. Any team that doesn't fall into that category has to at least be watched as a team that could maybe look to upgrade some way, somehow, if the opportunity arises and if they can do it in a way that they think is reasonable for what it's going to cost.
I want to ask you about Watson, but where do you think Russell Wilson stands? I believe it was Super Bowl week last year that he went on the Dan Patrick Show and he aired his grievances. Where do you think he stands? Pete Carroll's coming back. We know that. I mean, is this, do you think he's back in Seattle?
I think he's going to try again. And see, what happened last year is, and it was a couple of days after the Super Bowl, and there was a shot of him sitting up in the suite with the commissioner looking miserable. And, you know, he was miserable. They were 12-4, and they went 1-done, losing at home to the Rams in the wild card round. Now, this year, there's an argument to be made he'll be less upset because it was a lost season, and it was lost on that Thursday night of Week 5 when he banged his hand against Aaron Donald's helmet, and it derailed his season. And even though he got back as quickly as he could, he was never quite the same. And do you treat it as a mulligan? Do you treat it as a redshirt year and just do it again? They got him under contract for 2 more years. And if they just refuse to trade him, what's he going to do? See, he'll compartmentalize it. He'll agitate quietly behind the scenes. He'll use his agent to try to agitate. But if they just continue to slam the door in his face, he doesn't want to come out and say, I want out. Now, it was stunning that he came out and aired his grievances last year, but he never came out and said, I want out. I want to be traded. And I think if push comes to shove, he won't do that. So I think the Seahawks are going to try to finesse this, so he'll come back for 1 more year. And then after this year, they'll figure out what they're going to do, because he always gets a new contract with 1 year left on his current deal. After this season, he'll have 1 year left on his current deal, and I think that's the point where you trade him or you pay him, but you just don't go through the motions 1 more year. But I still think he'll try. But I get the feeling the Seahawks are going to be trying their best to hold firm and not give in to his desire to maybe get himself to a new location.
Mike, on PFT Live this week, you and your co-host Chris Sims were talking about a potential of Deshaun Watson and where he could go. And Chris dropped an interesting nugget saying that potentially he could drop his no-trade clause to go to the Eagles. He had heard that. So follow up on that. And have you heard similar things about Deshaun maybe deciding he would come to Philadelphia after all?
Haven't heard that specifically, but here's the reality. He's got tremendous leverage in this situation. He has that no-trade clause. He's got a $35 million fully guaranteed salary for 2022. So if the Texans are going to play this, well, screw it. We'll just keep him on the roster game like they did last year. Because a lot of times that's your best leverage in trade talks. It's not, you know, well, we're either going to trade him to you or to another team. It's we're either going to trade him to you or we're going to keep him. And last year, the price of keeping him was $10 million and he didn't play. This year, the price of keeping him is $35 million and he doesn't play. So I think that gives the Texans less leverage than they had last year. So the question becomes, will Deshaun Watson consider expanding his footprint of places he wants to go? Last year, it came down to Carolina and Miami. And he could have gone to Carolina without settling his 22 civil lawsuits. In Miami, Stephen Ross, the owner of the team, insisted on the 22 lawsuits being settled. 18 of them were ready to settle. 4 of the plaintiffs who sued him for misconduct during massage therapy sessions refused. That's what made the Miami deal fall apart. That deal's getting done if the final 4 say yes to the settlement. Watson wouldn't say yes to Carolina. Watson was willing to go to Miami and only Miami. And so I think now the soul searching he's got to do before this quarterback carousel starts to spin, would I go to Philadelphia? Would I go to Carolina? Would I go to Denver? Would I go here? Would I go there? And look, from his perspective, how much longer do you want to put your career on hold?
Right.
Do you really want to go 2 years without playing football? And, you know, at some point the Texans may decide to say to him, hey, you know what? You got to show up and play. Now,
yeah.
I don't think they want him at this point, but I, from his perspective, you got to play this year, and he's got to be more flexible to find a place to play. He's just got to continue his career somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mike, did the NFL find the cure to COVID? I haven't seen a lot of COVID positive tests here.
It's interesting, isn't it? Now, one of the realities is, as the Omicron variant washed through the various facilities in the month of December, anybody who's had it either tested positive and is in the clear for 90 days after the test that knocked them out for 5 days, or they had it, they didn't say anything, and they don't have it now, or anyone who may have it now, it's don't ask, don't tell. It's conceal the symptoms. You know, it's one thing to do the right thing and come forward and admit that you're experiencing symptoms in week 15. It's quite another to do it with the playoffs on the line.
Yep.
With your season on the line. So, and also, how aggressively are the doctors checking the players for symptoms? I don't get the impression that, you know, Tom Brady is going to get a serious once over by any of the Tampa Bay doctors between now and Sunday. So, you know, they got to the point where their money was threatened and they're getting these games in, period. And it's gotten laughable how few players. I think there was one active roster player this week on the eight teams that'll be squaring off Saturday and Sunday that tested positive. And it's somebody who played in like five games.
It's a miracle, Mike.
Well, we're aware of a rumor around these parts, Mike, that one of our pro athletes tried to catch COVID last year, so he didn't have to play in the playoffs. But that's just a rumor around here. We don't really know if that's true or not.
Well, you know, there was a thought that some of the teams, where they had a bye week or it was the last week of the regular season, your team was already in. I heard some talk that teams were actually encouraging their players to choose to get tested. So if they were going to be knocked out for 5 days, it happens
doing
then.
Now, yeah.
Because once you're knocked out the 5 days, you're good to go for the rest of the postseason. And that's the one thing to keep an eye on. Because, look, they're not testing guys who aren't saying, I don't feel well.
Right.
But the unvaccinated players get tested every day. And if the Packers make it to the Super Bowl 2 days after the NFC Championship, that's when he gets tested every day again. That's when his 90-day window from his
really?
Last positive end.
Wow.
So starting the Tuesday after the NFC Championship all the way until Super Bowl Sunday, he gets tested every day, every day, every day. One positive, and he's out for 5 days minimum. So you get into that Wednesday to Sunday between, you know, 5 days before the Super Bowl and the actual Super Bowl, you got a problem if he tests positive. And I know there's already some cynics who would say that positive would quickly be disregarded, and it would turn into a negative. There's too much riding on it to knock Aaron Rodgers out of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm not betting on Jordan Love in that Super Bowl if he's in there, man.
And I'm not watching that Super Bowl. That's what they're concerned about. I'm not
right.
watching it.
Yes.
But Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, quickly, your thoughts on the games this weekend?
Well, you know, it's a tough four to sort through. I really like the Titans with Derrick Henry back. I think the Bengals have overachieved. Now, it won't surprise me if the Bengals go beat them because there's kind of a Joe Montana vibe with Joe Burrow. Like, he doesn't know he's not supposed to be there. The team doesn't know it's not supposed to have gotten this far, and they just don't care. But I think the Titans are very overlooked, the most overlooked one seed that I think we've ever had in the NFL. The 49ers, Packers, count on Jimmy G to screw something up at the worst possible time. I mean, come on, it's like clockwork. You really could. You could set your watch to it. I sensed it last week, and I laughed when he threw that interception because it's like I knew this was coming. So unless they greatly minimize his impact on the game, the Packers are going to advance. I like the Bucs on Sunday, although I could see that one go either way. And if the Bucs don't establish the run, it could play right into the hands of the Rams' defense. And if the Rams can get the run game going with Cam Akers, they could beat the Buccaneers, which would be stunning if it occurs. And I like the Bills in what hopefully will be a 41-38 barn burner where the last team with the ball either wins it or fails to score the touchdown and the defense holds. But it should be an awesome week. And I'm hoping that every game is a great, exciting game. It feels so impactful, and it is. Whoever wins now, they punch their ticket to the game that determines who gets to the Super Bowl. Mm.
Great stuff, Mike. Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It,
thanks,
brother.
Guys.
Yep.
There he is, Mike Florio.
Yeah.
He is so – just because it had been thought that he had heard similar things about Deshaun Watson waving to go to the Eagles. He said he has not heard that information. So,
yeah.
Some one kind of notable thing from there. But these are really tough games this weekend. They are.
Yeah, that's how you want them to be, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Hopefully they live up to it. They're not duds.
Yep. Yeah, last weekend wasn't great, right?
No, you want. I mean, you want close games. That's what you want. You don't want. I mean, unless it's your team that's playing, and you, of course you want to blow out. But
yeah, the casual fans,
we just want four good games.
The 49ers Cowboys game wasn't well played, but it was certainly intriguing because it was close, and they were just making.
I mean, the Bengals Raiders game was good.
Yeah, good
game.
Good.
It was just the blowouts of the other two games, and who didn't know that?
Yeah,
not Tampa Bay. The Eagles in Pittsburgh.
We're the worst teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly, and they look like it.
Well, we might not have known. Maybe we knew it, and we just didn't want to admit it, Jack.
We knew it, yeah, we knew it.
That arrow is pointing very up on this Eagles team.
Yeah, but that's considering the bar being very low. When you start comparing them to those teams, then it's like, yeah, we're not ready yet. We're not ready yet.
Yep. All right, let's give you our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers, if you got engaged over the holidays, now you're looking to get your wedding bands. The place to go, Mark's Jewelers on Montgomeryville on Route 309. Online, marks-jewelers.com. Do you believe the arrow is pointing up on the Eagles after this season? Yes, it's pointing up. No, it's not, or it's in the middle. 60% say it's pointing up, Ike.
There you go.
In the middle, 29.1%. And then no, 11. There you go. So, listen, optimistic Eagles fans out there. All right, Lou in Denver's one of them. Lou, how are you?
Doing good. Happy Friday, guys.
You too, Lou.
What's up, Lou?
Hey, I just want to talk a little Jalen Hurts, and then I'll get to my arrow pointing. I'm glad Mike Florio came on and said, you know, basically Russell Wilson, and Rodgers isn't leaving the Packers, I don't think, and the Watson situation. That's why Hurts is the guy next year. He's got some room to improve, obviously. But he's trending in the right direction, and he's the best option. There's no quarterback in the draft. So I'm okay with everything Roseman said.
Why is he trending in the right direction? See, that's where you lose me. I don't disagree that he's not going to be the best option available. Because I don't Deshaun Watson's a mess. Russell might be going bad. Like realistically, these quarterbacks won't want to come to Philly, right? But why is he trending in the right direction?
I just thought from his rookie year to his second year, he took a jump, and I'm hoping he takes the next jump. You look at guys like Josh Allen from his second year to his third year. He does have a rocket arm, and Hurts doesn't. I get that. But he took a significant jump his third year, so I'm hoping Hurts can do the same. And again, he's 40th in QB salary, so his production per what you're paying him is really good. So keep him another year. You have him under contract, and let's see where it goes because it's the best option out there. There's no one in the draft. You're not getting Rodgers. You're not getting Wilson. You're not getting – I don't want Watson. And God forbid if we went after Cousins or Garoppolo. Are you kidding?
No, I don't want that.
Like paying those guys $35 million a year, it's insane.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I think we're pointing slightly up, and the expectations need to change. They need to change. We need to be a contender to consider ourselves like, you know, a good team. And that means getting to the divisional round. Roseman said that. So even though we made the playoffs and now 14 teams make the playoffs, you can't say we're really contending. We didn't contend this year. And really, only since Roseman came on in 2010, we're 17th in contention getting to the divisional round. We only got there twice. NFC East as a whole only got there six times, worst in the last 10 years out of all the divisions. So we're playing in a bad division. We need to be contending. My expectations next year are 10 to 11 wins, contend for the division, and hopefully win a playoff game.
Okay,
that's where I see us going because it's
that's where you hope that's where you hope they're going, right, Lou? I mean, that's where you hope they're going. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do in free agency. I don't know how aggressive they're going to be. I don't know if they're using these draft picks to get to try to upgrade with some veteran talent. I don't know. But if they go where I feel like they're going after listening to them talk, I mean, 11 wins, I don't know how they're winning 11 games, right? The league already showed that they're going to defend Jalen Hurts differently, and they did that in the playoff game. And you're going to see that next year to where teams are going to say, okay, we're going to stop you from doing the zone read. We're not going to let you run the football. We're going to put an extra guy down in the box. Now it's up to you, Jalen Hurts, to be able to throw. And I hope he does, but...
Well, and I mean, listen, I just don't think you can go through next year with this young core and adding a bunch more young players. If you really want to see them take any type of step forward, I think you need another tight end in here, right? I mean, listen, they like Tyree Jackson there. Maybe they like Jake Stoll. Jake Stoll is really out there to block. I haven't seen him throw the ball to him anywhere.
Right.
The offense just isn't as dynamic. I mentioned yesterday when we had two tight ends, we saw two tight ends being used. They were how many times did people talk about 12 personnel, 12 personnel?
Oh, we loved
it. How many times did 12 personnel get mentioned this year? Not very often.
Very much because no one was making catches.
Yes, exactly. And they weren't using 12 personnel. And when we had Goddard and Ertz, most people wanted Ertz off the field so that Goddard can get the ball more.
Yeah.
So but when you have two good tight ends, you don't look at it that way because there's more weapons. So the idea that we need to limit ourselves with the amount of weapons we have, just think about it. When I go back to that 2017 team, the amount of weapons at our disposal, the receiving position, going three deep at the receiver position. We had three tight ends. Trey Burton was an H-back slash tight end.
He was good in that role, yep.
We had three running backs. Yeah, Corey Clement, Jay Ajayi, and LeGarrette Blount. Just look at the multiple weapons that you had, the different things you could do. Go deep. You had a big body receiver in the red zone. We were the number one red zone team in football that year. We were the number
third down team that year.
Like, that's how versatile that offense was. Look at this offense now. How many times did I say this year, the biggest problem with the Eagles offense is if I'm a defense and I look at this offense, who am I afraid of?
I thought they had the most explosive plays in football this year.
Oh, man. Where'd they come from?
Like this made-up stat that Nick Sirianni
yeah,
came
goodness,
up with.
Man.
Well, even Tom the Bucs showed that in the playoff game, by the way.
Right.
He saw all of that.
But Jack, even at that press conference, the last press conference that he did, he started talking about how he has this, like, he wasn't worried. Was that after the game? Because it was after the game. He wasn't worried about being down too many points against the Bucs because he has an explosive offense. And it's like, dude, what are you talking about?
What?
Bill.
What? Like, seriously, what are you talking about? An explosive offense, right?
We got down 10-0 in our last four games in a row, didn't we?
Yep.
If he was asking the city of Philadelphia, they're panicked after 7-0.
Exactly. Explosive offense.
Oh yeah, they scored like Kansas City.
Right. That's
very
an explosive
similar.
Offense.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
it's like, oh, they can score in bunches.
Yeah. You couldn't see the Eagles ripping off 7 straight touchdowns against the Patriots like the Bills did?
Yeah, Buffalo's offense, that's explosive. The Bengals' offense, that's explosive.
No, but even in the skill guys that they do have, they don't over-target them.
No.
Like you have two guys essentially that in your passing game that you really should be targeting a lot.
Yes.
And you just went strictly to Goddard, who's not as reliable as you hope.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
And Devontae Smith wasn't there until the second half.
Yeah, and even Devontae, we have to get him developed to a more complete wide receiver.
Sure.
He uses the hash mark to the sidelines very well. I need a little more across the field, over the middle.
Yeah, where were the crossing patterns
offense? I need a little more of that out of Devontae so that he's not as easy to defend. You can't just take him out of the game.
Which, when teams concentrate on, hey, we're going to take him and Goddard out, they've pretty much been able to do it.
There's no way he should go a whole half without getting a target.
No, absolutely not. 215-592-9494. Ike, 4 years ago tonight.
Oh, what happened?
The Eagles won the NFC Championship.
Oh, man, what a night.
Ben Livingston, our old producer, was in tears in the stands.
He was in tears.
Yeah!
He was in tears, people eating poop. It was all good that night.
Jack was working.
Grinding.
Didn't get to enjoy it.
Nope, not till 3 hours after the game.
I didn't either, and they were still going, too.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, I mean, I managed to get home, and it was still
walk downtown. It was awesome.
Still partying in the streets at that time.
It was awesome. How did it sound? Well, we have the montage of the day after that game.
The day after?
Yeah, or the game.
No, it was the game. It was the day after montage.
Gotcha.
This is a Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we have the montage of Merrill and Mike.
It was a Sunday, right?
Yeah, it was a Sunday game. Yep. We could have said the montage of the game, not the day after montage.
That's all we needed.
Yeah. Yeah. We have Merrill and Mike montage of the game that we'll relive that coming up next. And all your phone calls as well. The Eagles pointing up, they pointing down, or kind of somewhere in between. We'll get to you next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Hey, listen, BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer on the Pro Football Playoffs. Simply place a $10 money line wager on any game. And if either team scores a touchdown, you'll win $200 in free bets. Just use the bonus code MARKS200. Plus, you'll earn M Life rewards that you can use for rooms and dining at any MGM resort nationwide. So download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use bonus code MARKS200 to win $200 in free bets if either team scores a touchdown in any or in a Pro Football Playoff game. All right, Marks and Reese, we are back, and we'll get to your phone calls, and we have all of our Football Friday features from today, but really the only thing left is our picks coming up at 5:30.
Looking forward to that.
But we do
feeling confident in there?
Well, the lines are so short. I mean, is it a pick 'em between all the games, or just take the home teams, or?
The home team is not getting home team respect in most of these games, which is interesting. So it's a tough matchup.
The home team has a better quarterback, obviously, is the home team with Tampa and Green Bay and Kansas City, right? But the better quarterback is on the Bengals team in Tennessee.
Definitely.
But they get Derrick Henry back.
I would say that the only game I'd be surprised at at an upset would be the Green Bay game.
Oh, yes, right.
I could see the Bengals winning because Tennessee, I mean, they've lost to bad teams this year.
I cannot see the 49ers beating.
Rams, absolutely. Yeah. Buffalo, yes.
Yeah.
So our pick's coming up at 5:30, but really a Sunday is going to be unbelievable. But I can't wait to see Cincinnati and what they're able to come out. You know, was that their season to get that playoff win, to get the monkey off the back after 31 years, or do they have something to follow up on that? I love Joe Burrow, man. Love watching him play. Love watching that team play. So, looking forward to these games. All right. 4 years ago tonight, NFC Championship game. Did we have a ton of confidence going into this game? Ike, I don't remember.
I mean, I did.
Yeah, did we? I guess we did.
Well, it's weird because Foles wasn't great in the Falcons game.
No.
So, he hadn't even started rolling yet.
Yeah, but I knew coming off that Minneapolis miracle.
There's no way.
Remember, I went off on Ian Rappaport. When we talked to him, it was like that Thursday before the game, and he was like, and I was asking him about the game and why the Eagles were still underdogs at home by 6 points to this damn Vikings team. And I was like, I think they were a bigger underdog than the Jags were to New England.
That's right.
In New England. And I was like, what am I missing here? And he was like, well, if there's any team that I'd be surprised won this weekend of the four teams, it would be the Eagles. I'm like, what? Like, Case Keenum? Like, all of a sudden, Case Keenum is great?
And Eagles are at home.
And we were at home.
Yeah.
So I didn't think it would be as big of a blowout as it was, obviously. But I thought Minnesota would have a tough time bouncing back from that miracle the week before.
And it really played into the whole thing the Eagles were doing with the underdog and the dog mask and everything else, to where you're that big of an underdog at home and you're the number one seed.
And I gave the example of the 4th and 26 game, because we came back the next week and laid an egg against Carolina.
Yep, sure.
We could barely score a point the following
big
week.
Big emotional wins like that.
Talked about it all week. It was at home.
Yep.
We didn't even talk about bringing down Carolina. That was almost a given.
Yeah.
So Minnesota probably thought it's meant for us to win, as we won this game. Of course, we're going to Philadelphia to beat Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles.
And it's Thursday, and they're still getting asked about it. And then they're doing all the announcers are coming in for the meetings, and they're talking about it. And everybody's talking about what happened. Yep, couldn't get away
from it.
And of course, the other good thing that came from this was the kid that was harassing the Viking fan, the woman Viking fan, who then was like, slapping him in the face or whatever, pretending to. Anyway.
And then the skull chants at the steps.
The skull chants, the person that got their hat urinated on, he was very upset. But we also have what happened in the game.
Here we go.
The montage from Marilyn Mike from 4 years ago. Here it is.
For the first time in 9 years, the Eagles are in the NFC Championship game. For the first time in 13 years, that title game is right here.
60 minutes away from playing in a Super Bowl.
Keenum takes the snap. Here comes the rush. He's hit, and it's intercepted. It's picked off by Robinson. Robinson at the 30. Cuts back across the field. Patrick Robinson looks for a block. Now he's at the 20. He's at the 15, the 10, the 5. Touchdown! Patrick Robinson!
Interception! Oh, big six, Patrick Robinson!
So I saw the ball coming out, and I was like, oh, man, this is going to be an easy pick. No, when I get a pick, I'm not going out of bounds.
The handoff is to Blunt, up the middle, to the 5. He's in! The train!
The train just ran one over.
La locomotora!
Choo-choo! Keenum back. Hit. Football loose. Look for the football. I think, let's say, the Eagles have it.
From the backside, it's Derek Barnett who gets it out.
One of the best, if not the top defenses in the league, and probably not getting enough credit.
Foles steps up. He is looking. He is going deep and alone. And into the touchdown is Jeffrey! He comes right back at the flea flicker. Back to Foles. He's going deep down the far side of the field. And it is caught! Touchdown! Torrey Smith!
Flea flicker. Clement. A Foles. Hombre abierto para la izquierda. Torrey Smith. Completo. Touchdown! Touchdown! Philadelphia!
I think you just try not to smile. I don't know if I've ever run a flea flicker.
Fires. And it is caught. Aguilar at the 50. At the 40. And ushered out of bounds at the 35. Last year he couldn't catch a cold. This year, he rarely drops anything. Fires, and it is caught deep in the end zone by Jeffrey Dutchman. His second of the game.
And Nick, we trust.
He didn't blink when Carson went down.
A lot of credit goes to Jeffrey right there because it wasn't a cheap maneuver for him to do that.
There's nobody I'm happier for.
I just told him that I was proud of him. I loved him.
And the stadium is delirious.
These fans are the best fans in the world, man. They killed it. They killed it.
You don't come into another team's house and think that you're going to show up and they're not.
The Vikings can spend the rest of the winter ice fishing in Minnesota.
For the first time in 13 years, the Eagles are headed for the Super Bowl.
I love it, baby. I love it.
And a rematch with the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 52.
Are we underdogs again? Great. Great. Somehow I'm not surprised.
Merle Reese, pack your bags. We're going to Minneapolis.
We are going to the stinking Super Bowl.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
That's awesome.
Wow. I still get the chills from that. Man.
Yeah, it was fun.
Good, man. Wow, who... And now look where we are.
New norm, baby. Quarterback. New Another norm. Coach. Howie's a weasel. Hours pointed low.
We're three quarterbacks removed from that game, man. Well, hell, four if you want to throw Josh McDaniels in there. He had some playing time that year. He was here.
Josh McCown.
I mean, when I say Josh McDaniels, yeah, Josh McCown.
Future Texans head coach.
Yeah, seriously.
Man, I'm sitting there listening to that, and I'm saying, yeah, that was supposed to be the new norm. That was supposed to be the beginning of a new era of Eagles football. But, wow, what a game.
If it was only that easy, right?
Well, yeah, if it was only that easy.
Yeah. It brings back to pack your bags, you're going. And then we packed our bags and we went up there and brought back all those memories. Levi got interviewed by the Washington Post reporter, and he was very pleased that he was in an interview on the Washington Post. We got it. I mean, it was amazing.
Well, it's the last time we've been united as a fan base.
Clearly. Yeah.
It's clearly been divided ever since that Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the shows were like after the NFC. And, like, the NFC Championship game happened, and then I don't remember what the shows were like after the Super Bowl either. It was just like everyone's just calling it happy.
We were celebrating for 6 months. Yeah, we celebrate.
They're the Eagles.
We had a draft. We didn't even know who the hell we drafted.
We didn't pay one.
Neither did the Eagles.
Attention to it. Yeah, I guess they were doing the same thing.
So
they traded out of the first round that year.
Yep. Yeah, that was the you're right.
They got Goddard and an additional pick. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, there you have it. Good job, Jack. What's your favorite moment from the NFC Championship run? You guys have one? Like favorite play or favorite moment?
For me, it would probably have to be the pick six.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it would probably have to be the pick six. Because it would either be that pick six or the LeGarrette Blount touchdown. Man, I used to just be so happy watching LeGarrette Blount run the football. I mean,
pick up a full head of steam.
Man,
and
it's like nobody wants to tackle him.
No.
He thought he was going to score every time he got a full head of steam. If he got to that second level, people were looking to get out of the way.
He's a good player.
Man.
He smokes Andejo in that game.
Man. And if I'm correct, he got a touchdown in the Atlanta game, the Minnesota game, and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So he scored a touchdown in all those games.
It's a really underrated player. Yeah, he was a good player for a long time. He was.
So, Pat,
it's definitely the pick six, and I don't know if we realize how big of a play that was. It's third and eight. Minnesota had the ball at the 43-yard line.
And they had already had the lead. They already had the lead.
7-0. It's third and eight. If they get a first down there, they're over midfield. And, man, I was already nervous as hell at that point. I'm like, oh, my God, right? They marched down the field their
Hot
first
night
time.
Butter.
Yeah. Yep. And Robinson gets that play, and it was over after that. I mean, literally, the Eagles rolled.
Well, no, remember they had the Barnett play, I think, after that.
Right before halftime.
Yeah. Where Minnesota had, like, a chance to sort of get back
in the game. Or was it after halftime? No, like, if they don't stop them there, it's a much different game as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that was then the floodgates opened.
That's another great play, too.
That's probably a better.
That's an underrated one.
Well,
yeah.
Really, and the moment it was really over.
So let's not act like Derek Barnett didn't do anything.
Yeah, he got that, and he picked up the fumble in the Super Bowl. What a player.
Hey, I'll
worth
take it.
It
was worth it.
And then I would just say, obviously, pick six was massive, but like the game was still kind of close in the second half, and then they came out with the flea flicker, and it was like, oh, they're just showing off now.
Yeah, that's when I was high-fiving people.
That was the exhale.
That was like, yeah, that's when I broke all the rules and started high-fiving people in the press box.
So did everybody else,
though.
Yeah,
like, yeah, all right, I'm going to get the hell out of here.
I think Richie even clapped that night. I'm pretty sure he was in the press box excited.
Did he? He was happy.
They're just excited that night. Oh, I don't know. Well, you and I were the only ones that went out there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the midday show didn't go.
Nope.
Yeah.
And then Trey decided he was coming out with us as well.
Oh, yeah, I remember Trey. The floating broadcaster, yeah.
Trey, I think we need a day off from you. We'll talk to you again in 2 days.
No, I'll be back down here. I'll be over here. All right, Trey.
Wow, what a time. What a time. Feels so far away at this point. It really does. It really does. It feels so far.
Well, we were supposed to be in SoFi this year, man. Los Angeles.
When's Detroit have a Super Bowl? That's when the Eagles going back
the
then.
One, yeah.
Elliot will not be there, by the way.
That's right. He's travel conflicts with Detroit. All right, back to the phones. Tom in Vancouver.
All right, Tommy.
Tom, how are you, buddy? What's up?
Hey, gentlemen.
Tom?
What's up, Tom?
So, 4 years ago, my son was 1 year old, and I was watching the game with him. He obviously didn't remember a damn thing, so I started trying to rewatch the various games from that year with him a couple weeks ago, watched the Atlanta game, and was about to go to the Vikings game. His five-year-old heart couldn't take it, and he said he can't watch it because I didn't want to tell him who won. I want him to experience all the excitement, all the emotion as we go through it.
So does he watch the games with you now, Tom? All the current games?
It's actually quite funny. He does. And he likes to pretend he's a player, so he'll run back and forth in front of the television. He doesn't understand the rules properly, but he'll pretend he's a receiver and a running back. He'll be the QB, running back, and receiver all in the same
hut,
play.
Oh, cool. Very good.
Yeah. And, hey, you know, I was listening to the that old series that was made up of WIP extracts from from that whole playoff run. And the thing that I remarked most listening to it was that you two were amongst the only people, a little bit Angelo, but really you two were the stalwarts of being positive in the whole lead up to the playoffs after Wentz got hurt.
Yep.
Yeah, we put the city on our back, Tom. That's what John and I did, and John actually put Nick Foles on his back. So.
Literally, yeah. Yeah, Tom, here's the secret with all that. We were being positive, and I think we genuinely both thought, like, hey, listen, they can still be the number one seed. Let's just take it game by game. We don't need to say that they're still winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
But, I didn't believe they were actually going to win the Super Bowl at that moment. I was hoping, but I didn't actually believe it. With Nick Foles, and then he came out. He was terrible in some of those games. But
that Atlanta game.
It worked out.
I encourage any listener who's interested in reliving some of those moments to go and listen to that podcast series. because it is just stunning listening to the
what
other
it was like.
WIP hosts just ripping into the team. So getting to your question of the day, though, at best, I would say that it's pointing sideways. And I don't see how anyone can say it's pointing up unless there's just the general feeling thing. Because before the season, the worst case scenario I felt anyway was having a QB that's only just good enough to make it difficult to move on from him. And that's exactly where we seem to be right now.
Yep. So, yeah, Tom, it's an appreciated buddy. It is like Jalen Hurts is competent for sure. Right. Like when he plays, you're like, all right, like you don't feel like you're going to get crushed with Jalen Hurts, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for competency. Looking for a good player. Looking for a really good player.
Okay, let me throw this out there because I get this tweeted at me a lot, you know, when people want me to ask you.
Yeah, ask me.
So, with Jalen being where he's at, say everybody agrees or most people agree that he's not there right now. But does the fact that the team isn't ready to win right now make it a lot easier to be able to go with Jalen because the expectations – should sort are if they're properly placed, he's in the right position to meet those expectations. It's when we raise the expectations, then we expect him to be at a certain level. So in other words, this is a young team. He's young right along with them. Mm-hmm. Why are we trying to accelerate the process?
Mm-hmm. But it's not always about the end result. It's about what you see when you watch the games, and that's what it is with me. I mean, just being honest with – what Jack? I saw this on Twitter. Someone put the college scouting report on Jalen Hurts out from the prior to the NFL draft, the 2020 draft when he was drafted. And if you look at the weaknesses, and this is right, this is like NFL.com, Jack. I mean, this is so here's the weaknesses of Jalen Hurts before the draft. Has issues sustaining rhythm as a passer with so many off scheduled throws. Would you say he's improved heavily from that?
No.
Inconsistent patience allowing routes to develop. Has he gotten better at that?
That's what we're still talking about.
Slow recognition of early throw opportunities. Leave slants and crossers behind targets. Misses checkdowns and opts for harder throws.
Does not throw a lot of checkdowns.
Deep.
Although I'm okay with that.
I don't want to do deep arm dip, but force speedsters at OU and Alabama to slow for deep throws. In other words, doesn't throw a great deep ball.
Right.
Needs to get better at trusting his pocket. Quick to drop his eyes when pressure mounts. More likely to void pocket than climb, scan, and throw from it. Mm. Every one of these weaknesses he still has.
Mm. A lot of that stuff it holds true.
Right?
Yeah.
And have you seen, honestly, have you seen progress in those things?
Some things. You know what the real thing is? How much progress have you seen? Right? So if you're saying, okay, he's improved a little bit, but you need more of a jump. Because if he's improving at a snail's pace, that doesn't do you any good as a staff moving forward. So you almost need him to take leaps and bounds. That's why this offseason is big for him. I mean, it just truly is. He would need to take a huge step this year because the Eagles, I would imagine, want to have a definitive answer.
Yep.
And right now,
well, you need one, really.
Yeah, I mean, because like I was saying earlier, how do you know how to plan accordingly with the rest of your team? Right? Are you planning with a quarterback that you have to adapt the offense this way with? Or do you get a guy where you say he has a cannon for an arm or what have you, and so now we can stretch the field, we can play vertical and do all these other things, and you get chunk plays and you score in 4 or 5 plays as opposed to having 10, 12 play drives. Like, that's ultimately what the Eagles as an organization want from their offense, right? Like, they want a vertical offense.
Yeah, that's what they want. And that's difficult to do with a guy that doesn't thrive in doing that, because then you need to – like when the Eagles re-signed Deshaun Jackson, brought him back here, the idea was that Wentz was going to lead this vertical offense in that first game against Washington. Man, they were just trying to throw the ball to Deshaun down the field. They were. And did Deshaun have a good game that game? That was the one good game he had.
Two touchdowns,
right.
Yeah, of the five that he played in the 2 years that he was here,
dominated that game.
That's what they want. They don't want dink and dunk. They don't want to run the ball. They want to have an explosive offense, passing offense. That's what they want. That's the modern NFL. That's when you look at the teams that are playing tomorrow and on Sunday. For the most part, you have a vertical offense. And you say San Francisco's
– I guarantee they looking at Joe Burrow saying, yeah, that's what we wanted.
Right. And then you look at San Francisco and you're like, well, they're not going to beat Green Bay. It's because you don't believe in the quarterback.
Right. Yep.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. You believe Cincinnati can win because of Burrow.
Yep.
Let's go to Bruce. Bruce in D.C. What's up, Bruce?
Marks and Reese, hey, what's going on? Happy Friday to you guys.
Brucey, babe. How you doing?
What's up, Bruce?
Oh, man. Hey, look, good combo as usual. Man, hey, Marks.
Yeah.
Johnny Marks, man, look, that list of deficiencies for Jalen are pretty damning. And I didn't know of all of those deficiencies, but the one of the things, you know, I've been a big proponent of Jalen this whole season. And what was really disappointing in the playoff game was that you saw a lot of those issues against a good team. But with that said, moving forward, I think that he's done enough to deserve another season because there's two things here. He was constrained in two ways. Number one, a young coaching staff that didn't do a very good job of scheming and setting up good plays for him to be successful with the 1.5 receivers that he had available. And, oh, by the way, some of the receivers didn't perform well. I mean, he delivered the ball sometimes when he needed to, and they dropped the pass, and it happened in numerous games. So when you put all that together, the fix that going forward, one of the things you're going to have to do, you're going to have to get him some weapons. You're going to have to get him a mix of veterans, and maybe something in the draft and then show up the defense. But we're talking about Jalen. So I think those are the things that have go forward. Now, with that said, as far as these draft picks are concerned, I think that Howie needs to take one of those picks and move them into the next year so that we do have leverage. Because here's what I don't want to see. We don't know what we're going to get from Jalen. If those limitations, if they are not coached up, and I don't have the confidence that they can coach those deficiencies out of him, right?
Right.
But if that does not happen, then we have the option of the next year because we're not going to be guaranteed to get
2023 now we're talking about? I mean, see, that's the thing. Now you're talking about 2023. And what they'll do next year is they'll try to incorporate more passing. And then when they decide that that's not something that they can continue to do, then you're going to be back to running the ball. I mean, that's what they did this year.
Well,
they,
unless he improves.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
they may find a good balance of him throwing more. And, I mean, you do need better weapons. You and I have been saying that for the last couple of days. Go out there and get him somebody to throw to. Damn it. 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese, Football Friday. Top 5 at 5 with Jack Fritz. Jack, do you have something good today? Are you gonna break? Are you gonna cause people to call in and say they break the law like yesterday?
No, it's a positive one. It's off.
No, it is
NFC Championship related.
Oh God,
we love to reminisce around here, don't we?
Yeah,
no city's better at it.
Yeah, I can understand. I can see him not liking his top five.
Why?
But who knows with you and your NFC Championship nonsense. In case you don't remember.
You're worried about 2002, aren't you?
In case you don't remember. Well, I got four other ones I could choose from, too. What you mean?
It's positive. I'm not ripping 02. Okay, that was last week.
Okay. Ike is correct to kind of look at you cross-eyed.
Well, listen, when NFC title games come up, there's not like it's a bunch of positivity that runs through my mind.
Understandable.
Well, whose fault was that?
Not
like
ours.
One guy on this show who had control over what happened in those games, and it wasn't John.
Not us, Jack. All right, coming up, we have top 5 at 5. Your phone calls as well, a lot more. It's a Friday. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, the NFL playoffs are in full gear, and everyone can get in on the action with a risk-free bet on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Now, it doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. All customers get up to $10 back if your same-game parlay doesn't win. Now, same-game parlays let you combine multiple bets from one matchup for a big payout. You can combine bets on the money line, point spread, player stats, and so much more. Now, FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. Already have an account? Well, just place your risk-free same-game parlay on any divisional round game to qualify. New customers, join today with promo code Ike to get your risk-free bet. Plus, if it's your first time betting with FanDuel, you can enjoy 30-1 odds on any team in the divisional round to win after using promo code Ike. You can turn a $5 bet into $150. Don't forget, that's promo code Ike on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.